Thanks, Josh. Let's pray. Almighty God, as we come to look at your word now, help us to understand how this parable applies to us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we look at this world and we see bad things that are happening, we see evil and corruption at every turn, we may wonder when God is going to stop it all. When's God going to punish evil people? When's God going to stop suffering? Why does God still allow sickness, war, suffering of innocence, all those other things that cause us to wonder about God's justice, his mercy, his love and compassion? Now, we as Christians believe in an all-powerful God. So why doesn't he stop all the sin, all the hurt, all the suffering now? Why can't we see the kingdom of God now? The kingdom of God with all the blessings, the promised blessings that will come with it. Well, as we look at the parable of the weeds today, Jesus teaches us how things got to be as bad as they are, the reason that God is leaving them the way they are, and how God's going to put things right. Now, as we look at the parable of the weeds, we can see the parable and the explanation for the parable are separated. They're separated by the parables of the mustard seed and the yeast and an explanation as to why Jesus used parables. And it appeared that only those who were really, really concerned to know the meaning behind the parable were persistent in seeking its meaning. And the parable starts with, the kingdom of heaven is like. So it'll teach us something about the way God operates in his world. It goes on to say, a man sowed good seed in his field, but his enemy, waiting until the dead of night where he could be undetected, sowed the seeds of a weed among the good seed of the field. Now, the type of weed that is named here is the type of weed that it looks like a wheat plant when it first shoots, but as it matures, the difference can be spotted. Once the wheat and the weeds have matured to the point where they could be told apart, the man's servants came to him and told him about the weeds. They knew their master had planted good seed in his field, so they asked him where the weeds came from. Then the master replies, an enemy did this. And when we look ahead to the explanation Jesus gives in verses 36 to 43, he tells us that the field is the world, and the Son of Man is the one sowing the seed. And the Son of Man, we know, is a title that Jesus used for himself. It's a powerful title. It's a title that makes big claims. The Old Testament book in Daniel chapter 7 records a vision that Daniel had of a figure described as one like the Son of Man, who was led into God's presence and is given all authority, glory, sovereign power, and a kingdom that will last forever. And all people will worship him, this Son of Man. The Son of Man is the Saviour, the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. The field described in the parable is the world. The good seed that is sown stands for the sons of the kingdom, that is, those who follow Jesus, Christians. And the weeds represent the sons of the evil one, and the enemy is the devil himself. So we can pause here to see the explanation Jesus gives, explains the way that things got to be as bad as they are. The evil that has come into the world has not come about because God has put it there. It has come about as a result of the evil one, Satan, seeking to ruin what God has made good. As we can see as we read the Bible, right in the beginning, when God first created man and woman, they lived in perfect harmony with him and in the world in which he placed them. But when the devil convinced them to ignore God's command, the people fell away from God and the perfect world in which he's placed them. And they became cursed, and the creation became cursed with them. It's not God who is responsible for the sad state of our world. The blame lies with humanity's willingness to ignore what God, their creator, says is right and listen to the enemy of all that is good, the devil. The struggle we have in producing enough food in our world, the sickness we suffer, the conflict in relationships, even death, have all come about because of the rebellion of mankind. This world is not the way it was made to be. So when we look at the world and life in general, we can know that everything that occurs in it that is bad has come about as a result of an action, the action of an enemy, God's enemy, the devil. And it's also worth noting that only two types of people are described as inhabiting this world. There are those who are described as belonging to God's kingdom and those who are described as belonging to the evil one, the devil. You're either serving Jesus, the King of God's kingdom, or you're serving his enemy, the devil. Jesus doesn't allow for any fence sitting or any neutrality. If you don't serve Jesus, then you're serving Satan, the devil, either knowingly or unknowingly. Okay, so that's the explanation of how things got to be as bad as they are. We see there that God's not responsible for the evil that's in the world, but that doesn't properly explain why it is still here. Why doesn't God simply get rid of all the evil, all those who are evil, everything that causes evil, and that would clean up the place once and for all? As we look back to the parable of the weeds, we can see that the servants of the owner ask the same thing. They ask the owner if they should go out and pull up the weeds. And on the surface, it might look like a good plan. Seems like a good idea. And the way the story is told, it's totally within the owner's power to have this happen. But he tells his servants not to do it. Why? Well, it's because he's afraid that in pulling up the weeds, some of the good seed that he planted would be uprooted as well. Now, my late wife always appreciated any help I gave her with anything around the house. I don't know, I believe there's more than one woman like that. But she appreciated it if I helped with washing or cleaning or hanging clothes on the line, getting kids ready for something. I did for her. It was greatly appreciated. Except for one thing, and that's when I weeded her flower garden. And the reason for this was a bad experience that she had with me, as it turns out. It seems that in her opinion, I didn't know the difference between little weeds and a lot of flower seedlings. And so I ripped up everything I thought looked like a weed just to be on the safe side. And apparently I was responsible for the death of many much-loved flower seedlings. So I was allowed to do anything, but weeding in the garden had to be done under close supervision. The reason Jesus gives for evil remaining in the world is that God is concerned for the good seed, the sons of the kingdom, for Christians. Jesus is saying that if all who do evil, or all who are evil and all that causes evil, if it were to be uprooted from the world now, before the right time, then some of those who follow Jesus would be destroyed along with those who reject him. Just as I destroyed some of those flower seedlings when I was weeding Sharon's flower garden. God is not willing that any of those who he calls should fall away before they reach full maturity in him, before they're ready to be brought into his presence. That's how deep God's love is for his children. God delaying the judgment on evil and evildoers is actually a demonstration of his mercy, a demonstration of his love towards those who love him. We must not think we can uproot all evildoers from the world before then. If we were to try, we would inevitably tear up some of those belonging to Jesus. We mustn't become depressed when we see weeds and counterfeits sown by the devil appearing even in the ranks of the church. If we do see it, if it is identified, we do as the New Testament tells us to do. It gives us a formula on how to deal with this sort of thing. But we need to be patient and realize that God is delaying judgment for the sake of his chosen people. Sometimes innocent people suffer at the hands of evildoers, but this will not go on forever. There is a time coming, a time appointed by God, when evil will be judged. And that's what we look at now. So Jesus has shown us how things got to be as bad as they are. Humanity has listened to the lies of the devil. And he's shown us why God leaves them the way they are. It's for the sake of Christians, God's people, all those who will come to him. Now he shows us how God's going to put things right. After the owner of the field identifies the weeds growing amongst his good seed as the work of the enemy, he instructs his servants about what to do. and when to do it. He tells them to wait till the harvest time. When that time comes, they are to go out into the field, gather all the weeds together and tie them into bundles to be burnt. Then they're to gather the wheat and bring it into his barn. Jesus explains that the harvest time is the end of the age, the time set aside for God's final judgment on sin. The harvesters are the angels. The weeds being pulled up and burnt is what will happen to all who do evil and everything that causes evil. The punishment set aside for them is described as being thrown into a fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's an awful punishment, but it's also, according to the righteous judge, it's a punishment that is deserved. When the evildoers and everything that causes sin would be then now removed from God's kingdom, the righteous, who have been forgiven of their sins through Jesus or who follow him, they will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father in heaven. So here we see how God will deal with those who refuse to submit to his authority. Here we see what will happen to those who do evil. At the final judgment, they'll receive their punishment, and all that mars God's kingdom will be swept aside. But only now do we see how God will deal with evildoers. Sorry, not only do we see how God will deal with evildoers and all that causes evil, and how he'll deal with it once and for all, we see the glory that will come to those who follow Jesus. They will shine in God's kingdom like the sun, radiant. And look how thoroughly sin and evil are dealt with by God. Not only will evildoers be weeded out of his kingdom, but everything that causes evil and sin will be removed. When we think of heaven, we sometimes think of a return to that Eden-like state when the creation first happened. We think of that, you know, the garden where mankind lived in humanity, or I should say, lived in harmony with God and spoke with him face to face. But it's actually what is described here is something that's even better than that. Because in the new kingdom, in the kingdom of God, there won't even be the potential for sin. Everything that causes evil will be removed. We will obey and we will worship God perfectly, never to experience the fall or the consequences of sin again. What a wonderful prospect, not only to enjoy God's blessing forever, but to be finally completely free from the bondage to sin. Because when you think about it, every bad thing you experience in this life is the result of your sin or the sin of someone else. Then you realize how wonderful it would be to escape its effects. Knowing that there's something good at the end of a difficult time can help you tolerate those difficulties. If you've ever done an apprenticeship in a trade, I've done a couple, okay, you know what it's like. You start there, the first day of the trade, what are you called? You're called the boy. You're the boy. It doesn't matter how old you are, you're the boy. It's a very deliberate title. It's used to put you in your place. Anyway, you go around doing whatever grubby job they give the first year apprentice to do, and eventually you work your way up. And after the 4 years, you become a tradesman, and then you have that equal status. No one called you boy. Unless, of course, you do what I did, go for a second trade. You get there, you're in your early 20s. I'm a man now. First day on the job, get the boy to go and help you, okay? Back in your place again. You've got to work your way up to the top again. I mean, it's the same with every job, isn't it? I mean, university. What keeps you going in university, okay? Is it the parties or is it the prospect of a degree at the end? You know, you do all that hard work. You do all those assignments. You get all that together. You do all that research for the sake of that bit of paper that tells everyone, that little couple of letters after your name that say, this person has done this course of study and have passed. And they have achieved what they set out to do. I mean, the hard work in the garden, okay? The digging up of the weeds, the planting, the fertilizing. It's rewarded by what? By the fruits of the harvest, by the vegetables you get out of the garden, by the flowers that are displayed there. That's what you put in the hard work for. Hard times in life, times of suffering at the hands of evil people, can be made easier by the promise, the assurance, that God has it all under control. Punishment of evildoers is delayed because of God's concern for his dearly loved children. And God will punish evildoers and everything that causes sin at the appointed time, the time that's been appointed by him. So rather than worry when God's going to get rid of everything that causes sin and all the suffering that goes with it, make sure you yourself are ready for that day of judgment. Make sure that you will be viewed as wheat grown from good seed rather than weeds sown by the enemy of God. How do you know whether you're that good seed or not? Submit your life to God. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Confess your sinfulness to him. Recognize your need of his atoning death, your forgiveness, because he and only he can save you on that day of judgment. Now, we've seen how sin and suffering came into this world. It's the result of humanity listening to the lies of the devil. We've seen why God allows evil to continue. It's because of his love for his people, for all of us who will follow Jesus. And we look forward to the time when God will do away with sin and with all who sin against him and everything that causes sin. We look forward to a time when those who follow Jesus will go to be with their Father in heaven, shining as brightly as the sun. So let us be ready for that day, whenever in God's perfect timing it may come. Let's pray. Almighty God, we do thank you that we have the promise that you will judge sin. You will do away with evil. Everything that causes evil will be swept away, and all those who resist you again will be removed. Heavenly Father, as we live in your kingdom now, on your earth now, as members of your kingdom, as we see the evil that's around us, as it impacts on us, and even, Lord, as we see it in our own lives, help us to resist it, Lord. Help us to remember the time is coming when it will be judged and removed. Help us to live, Lord, as your people now, that even now we might shine out as lights for you, that we might shine out as beacons for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask this, Lord, that others may come into your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.